Welcome aboard, Ion. The gang's all here, ready to put you through the paces again. Are you ready to speak?
Buck and Dottie Rambo, the finest people that ever walked on this earth, and her ex-husband, Buck. She is a famous songwriter. She's a singer, and her daughter, Reba McGuire, Donnie and Reba McGuire, they have a singing group, and that's another conversation. But she's famous around all the world for her songwriting ability. She wrote and wrote. It goes on and on and on and on. All the good music. Holy Heels. Good gracious.
And she put a lot of contrast in her life so she could have stuff to write about?
Broke back. Shed a book. It's just a mess. And went come to be with us on a bus on Mother's Day. Crashed in a bus wreck, but she slipped right to us instantly. It's wonderful.
Right to the guts. No judgment issues.
Judgment issues? You mean there was someone filed a judgment against Dottie Rambo?
Yeah.
Why?
I think one of the former Mothers of Invention did. Donnie Preston, I think.
No. Maybe Elaine. Elaine believes it, never a judgment.
All right, well, I'm talking about the self-judgment before you get to the guffs. It looks like she had cleared that out.
Oh, that is an accounting. It's not a judgment. It's an accounting.
Oh, an accounting.
It's a reformation.
All right.
Did you achieve it? Yes. Okay, good. Did you not achieve it? No. Okay, goes with you to the guff.
I'm wondering what his destination is, possibly, obviously, and maybe in transition, but where's Pete's destination?
Pete who?
My dad.
Your father died?
Yeah.
But he actually didn't yet. He didn't yet.
Okay.
You mean he's still hovering over the body?
Yeah, he hadn't quite left yet.
When did this happen, Greg?
Yesterday, about 5 o'clock.
So he's saying he's still deciding. You could bring him back, Greg.
That's pretty neat, Ian. So destination is up and determined, I guess, is really what I hear you're saying.
Well, destination is one of two. One, either to another world or to the gods. Those are pleasant. He just hasn't decided yet. But he would not go anymore with the pain. He was not having any more of the pain.
He was done in that regard, for sure, of course.
And he did what he was supposed to do, and enough.
And is there any action on my part that would aid him in this direction, or is it just totally up to him and check up later?
Get bliss or get out.
Get bliss or get out?
That's exactly right. Get bliss. Exactly right. Because what happens is that's the key. Because, see, all these different transient things that you fall into only occur or happen or slide in and out of once you get to that place. But when it's not acknowledged, then it is not. If you never created pain, you'd never suffer from it.
You sound a little subdued, Greg. Are you affected by your father like many humans are?
No, I'm pretty good with it at this point. You know, it's it was a little numbing at the time, but it wasn't unexpected. I mean, we basically Friday morning told the hospital to pull the plug, and that was his wish. He didn't want to be a burden, and so they just lowered the oxygen level to where he wouldn't wake up.
So who was there in Toronto with your father?
My sister. And her kids and her husband.
Your sister, the one who's had miraculous healings on the drops.
That's right. And now gone back to 18 drugs for her cancer.
What? She fell back?
Oh, yeah. She was probably down a little bit on her drama quotient, so she had to up the drama in order to justify her life, I guess.
See, there's the labyrinth of the mind. That's an important part of your being. You've got to learn how to see through it. It'll do you in, even if we've given you a total Dobbstown access, backstage passes, everything, you still can blow it if you don't study mortar. If you don't study Bob, you'll just get screwed up by the non-mortar, mortarized, and cube.
There you go. I've never been this homesick before. Dottie Rambo, there you go. Get that song.
I've never been this homesick before. Where was she when she wrote that?
She had just come out of back surgery, and she was recovering at Vanderbilt Hospital, and then she was going home to Nashville, Tennessee.
Hi, I'm Katie Thomas.
Hey.
I have a bunch of questions about mental illness and how that relates to the labyrinth of the mind?
There is no mental illness. All there is you get separated in crossways with things you can't explain. And so, therefore, you have to sit in a box, and you call that mental illness. Genius is also a mental illness, by the way.
Is pedophilia a mental illness or a sexual preference?
Okay. Let's deal with bestiality, all that. Let's deal with all that because it's all together. People don't know what they like. They like what they know. You come into any inference or any position, all right? There's countries where you hang great big things off your genitalia to stretch it, and that's a new enchanting way to be. But if you don't know that, that seems a bit weird and grotesque, and it maybe it is, but not to those that engage it.
Okay.
So what happens is once you find this in your mind, you find this joy or this experience place that turns out, it squirts out. You try to suppress it, it squirts out in another way. That's not to say that you can't engage without actually oogling children or mules or farm animals or goats, chickens, cows, mice, whatever it is that you'd like to get a bit jiggy with. That is nothing other than the expression of you finding a way to have an expression. It's what perks the sense. The same way with normal heterosexual activity, where a beautiful woman walks in and all of a sudden the men folks perk up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They can open doors with just a smile. They can get things done, as it were, just because of their prowess that's a presented thing. Okay, males responding to that side. And now what do you do with the bull dykes on the other side? Well, they respond the same way. Now, the same response that causes the male to get an erection would make a dyke amorous. So we don't call it an illness. We don't call it a preference. We call it a you don't know anything else. And in not knowing anything else, so can you pray the pedophilia away? No, you can't pray it away. But what you can do, just like with any other habit that you may or may find pleasant or unpleasant, you can replace it with another.
Overlay something else.
To the place where that becomes less and less and less noted. But in role play and some of that kind of stuff, you can't really fall back on it because it makes actually intensifies it. Because now you're pretending like you're having a child and you're not having a child, which actually makes it worse or stronger. That absence makes the heart grow harder, as it were.
Uh-huh.
So that don't make it be that way. You have to convert the other way. But we really just don't call it a sickness. But then we also say that it's not necrophilia if the body's still warm, too. So, you know, you have to watch us.
Okay.
That would be funny if it weren't so sad. We understand that. But see, as a God, you have no limitation. The limitation comes in your fallen state. You still want to be God. You still want your way. You still want whatever you want. You still want people to bow and scrape and move and make your bed and wash your clothes and tend to your every little tit-tat need that you might make up or come up with. And in a God's eyes, it makes no never mind what pleases and delights them. That's just their pleasure. Little man's to serve God. So if that's how that works, then okay, no problem. But you've fallen. So it becomes in question is now, is your power supreme? Are you a God? If you're a God, then it's not that as you tag a limit on. You see? That's where it comes from. That's what allows it. Then what allows it? Then you have a whole other residual place that says this is appropriate or normal.
So what you just explained would be true of all other supposed mental illness, bipolar, schizophrenia, depression. There is no difference. There is no mental
genius.
Illness.
Genius. There's no mental illness. There is no mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
You can't explain it, but you call it an illness. It doesn't fit the status quo, so you say it's different. You say it's less than because you don't know.
Is there a reason that so many people are taking psychiatric drugs?
Oh, yeah, psychotropic, because you can get off on them real easy. They're good. They numb the hurt. They make you fit. Some people want to take it. Some people don't want to take it. That's the leading cause for homelessness. It's not because people are poor. They don't want to live in a box. So they move into a refrigerator box. Interesting, isn't it?
A lot of people take SSRIs, Ambien, Zoloft.
Well, Ambien is a sleeping pill. That's not a psychotropic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was talking more about just basic psychiatric drugs.
So then start dropping tabs of acid, and you'll fit into everybody else in San Francisco. You won't be crazy at all. And you, I promise you won't go to bed with an ugly human being, but you might wake up with some dopes. See, how do you paint these pictures? Let's take a gay lesbian lifestyle. Let's take Old South Bible boating, toting, something. That's just the wrong. It's an abomination. Or not the president. No, not that one. The other one. An abomination. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. But then you go to San Francisco and you're kind of odd if you're not. They look at you more funny if you're not. Unless you're Asian and then they don't understand you anyway. But you see what I mean? It's all in the emphasis of the land you're in. They say swimming in Rome do it the Romans. But you notice they don't say that to the Grecians. They have a very different impetus on that conversation, you see. So to soften all this, it's about your societal legislating morality that sets up this wrong aspect.
So if a young girl called you and wanted to talk to you about having been molested, is there something that you would say to her about collusion or full culpable responsibility?
No, no, here's what we'd do. We'd do. Well, first of all, we'd be very careful to assimilate the condition, all right, exactly what's going on. Then we would find a way to make that less than place. Was there a joyful, pleasurable, exciting allure that was wrought in that invasion? You call it an invasion because if it was not asked for or engaged, you know, you can't just say it's an age thing because it's not. Because you got 12-year-olds now that are piping their own, no question. So puberty is sped way, way up. So then you come back to a easing into the whole process. You could have the same conversation the first time a toddler had their own bowel movement. About the same. Sometimes that's traumatic too, isn't it? And sometimes it just happens, but it's to the ongoing process that would necessarily occur, except you don't want to be the psyche that sets up what natural, normal sexual relations would include. But now, see, you've tainted it to the point where you would set a moniker of this is what that's like, and I like it or I don't like it, but you still continue and do more of it. Whether you like it or whether you don't, you still do more of it. So the simplest way to handle that process is to assimilate this, the full situation, and then move past it, move beyond it. Every conversation ends with you taking your power back.
That makes sense.
Because then what happens, but then what happens is you don't make this, you don't make it this trauma. Take that child to court. Find the motherfucker that run this thing, that did this terrible thing. Go castrate him. Get a double-barrel butcher knife and cut his nuts off. Wonderful. But you're going to bruise that child forever. You make that easy, light, and a non-sequitur, and we promise you it will be a non-sequitur. Which way you want to
really
go? Which way you want to, which way you want it to play?
I feel
no, no. Yes?
When you say that.
Then it's not a thing. Then it's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You could also damn a child for smoking a cigarette. But they still might. So if you don't make that a big to-do, then all of a sudden they go, oh, really? I don't care for that. Thank you. Makes me cough. Or it's kind of a blissed out buzz, but it's just not very lasting. On and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make a big to-do about it, they'll become those beautiful, voluptuous women smoking cigars.
So there is validity to that sort of trauma being handed down in the branch of a family if it's not handled in the way you just described.
Right? Chains of pain are still chains. You have to go to Papa Justify, the conjurer of sacrifice. That's how you break that, darling. Everybody's giggling because they remember Papa Justify. these times, Lord, to break these chains that bind us. No, go ahead. You have another question.
Is there a particular shortcoming of the 12-step programs that make them, at the same time, the only thing that works for addiction and yet not really work? I mean, obviously, step one, you admit you're powerless and then you're giving away your power.
Grant me inspiration to find out how to fuck myself up. Nice. Yeah, that's
right.
The thing. And the wisdom to know how to do it. There you go. Good.
Okay.
We've undone those. We did those. Bypassed those.
Okay, let's talk briefly about genius and inspiration then. Specifically, I'd like to talk about Pharrell Williams. I watched him on Oprah Prime last night, and many of the things that he stated were ionic, and some of them weren't. Sometimes when Pharrell and Oprah were talking about where they got their inspiration.
Well, it's where he made, he went to where he made his first mistake. It was where he first made his mistake. That's what he talked about.
Right, and then talked about getting to a zero point when he, after, for instance, with Happy, after writing, I mean, I hope everybody knows who Pharrell is, but at last year...
No, who is it?
Some ridiculous singer, Happy, Blurred Lines, Get Lucky, Jay-Z, Britney Spears, Madonna, the winner's a household name of his own, he's a dream.
Oh, that's
giving
right,
up
I did see a Happy
go.
Song last
he's
week.
He's getting rained on, he tells Oprah during an interview on Oprah Prime, I accepted that I was going to be a writer and a producer, and I was happy to be the guy standing next to this guy. Then in 2006, William got his chance to be front and center, releasing his first solo album. In my mind, despite them debuting number 3 on Billboard 200, Williams of Backland Music. Is a critical self-awareness, but I was given the opportunity to make a solo album for the first time. There was more braggadocio going on than there was any purpose or intention, William says. I beat myself up about them because I was I like. Here you are, being given a platform, and all you want to do is brag. Blah, blah, blah.
You get that? Thanks for evoking that, KJ. Showbiz rant.
Pharrell Williams.
Does he know he's God? Does Pharrell know he's God?
No, he does not. He wouldn't be talking to Oakley.
I notice a smugness between them when they talk about being manifestors. Oprah would say to Pharrell, he's quite a manifester. Is there a difference between being a manifester and a creator and a God?
There is. A manifester just stirs what already is. A creator can stir that which is not. Best question ever.
Even JW used to have Manifestor as an email name before Ian showed up. Don't know if he changed it lately, but the old JW fell for the Manifestor, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's just a Budapester.
The main difference between a Manifestor and a creator, then, is... A manifestor is not ascending. A manifestor does not know that he is God.
It can only get that which has been gotten.
Nothing's new. They're just moving around deck chairs on the Titanic.
Pretty much.
Okay. What is that smugness?
Narcissism.
Almost narcissism. Okay. So is malignant narcissism of what is that? It's not a mental illness. It's just something that they enjoy.
Yeah.
Is there any such thing as a muse, then, in terms of creative inspiration, or is that just, it's just more of the same what we're talking about now?
It's more the same of amusement.
Amusement. So there's no validity to Pharrell's song about being happy. He is indeed spreading joy.
But he's spreading cliches, and that's easy.
He's spreading cliches, okay.
Yeah. What people know, not what they like, but what they know. Or what they like and know, but didn't know. Something like that. I'll clarify that.
If they can know it, they can't know it.
The cliches of the familiarity. They go from the unknown to the familiar.
And then familiarity breeds contempt.
Right, and there's the smugness.
But if they were really that smug, they wouldn't be out tuning it. See, and we call that in inbox for a big dick syndrome. Do you know big dick syndrome? You have to be endued, not endowed, but endued with a large phallus, okay? Then you have a conundrum. You can run it around, complain about it being so big, or you can run around and brag about it being so big. Either way, the outcome is not what you want. For example, mm-hmm. you run around telling everybody how big it is, they either, one, hate you because it's so big, or can't stand you because it's too big, or they want to see it. Either way, you're exposed because they never want to see mm-hmm. it in their privacy to engage. They want to see it on Oprah Winfrey Live. It's like talking about coitus. If you're engaging in it, you ain't talking about it. You're doing it. Be a doer of the word. It's where Bob bows his head and says, oh, me.
So with my own writing,
well, the funny thing about the writing is, how do you know that the one that wrote the writing wrote the reading right?
What does that mean, Ion?
Well, let's just tell you what that means. Here you go. The essence of creation is in the spoken mm-hmm. word. Now, if you take the Android meme and you move that into a outpost, or Marshall McLuhan used to talk about it, moving it into a new space, into a new room. Oh, and we may have to do some Finneganese. Oh, Lord, suffering cast. What a disaster. Anyhow, once this word slips into this place, then you become a reference point. Those words become a reference, and we don't like the reference more times than not. All this Library of Congress bullshit ends up being just this, that. Now, all of a sudden, mm-hmm. you spend an entire Congress trying to undo this crap. Mm-hmm. You just frivolously write things, and you have no idea what you're writing. Do you realize that no one ever knew what Ulysses was going to write? And then they got that far down the rabbit hole and just said, oh, well, shit, we might as well finish it. This is. One day somebody started writing War and Peace, and we keep going, why?
You're saying James Joyce's Ulysses. That was
yes.
a dilemma. Yes. And Leo Tolstoy did War and Peace.
If you want to write, write. But the one who wrote the reading right, when you write the reading right, it's not written. The rote reading isn't right. And it's not rote.
That's Finneganese. That's what the book.
The rote
mm-hmm.
reading demonstrates. Right. And see, yeah, there
mm-hmm.
you go. And that's what he
Joyce
shows.
Demonstrates
then,
that.
But nobody can know, and nobody can read that.
Then he gets away.
So
that's
the perfect
right.
reading, reading is one that can't be right. And if it's right, then it can't be read. But it's not
Meister
rote.
Meister Eckhart said, only the hand of the races writes the true thing.
Well, that's really my question. I want to write the true thing. Is there a way I can make sure my hand
without
is
erasing.
Right?
Yeah, can I make
right.
money by
I want to write. Well, I mean, I do want to write it perfectly.
Well, yeah, I would compromise both ends. Have the left-hand page be Finneganese and the right-hand page clear prose. McLuhan did that in War and Peace in the Global Village. He had Finnegan's Wake on one
right.
side and straight prose on the other side. That's how you do it. You do both.
In the margins, mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
But Ion's right. Nobody has ever bothered to get the difference between creating and manifesting. That's the biggest cliche. Everybody in the Oprah world, maybe in the Thompson Quadrant, talks about manifesting. And
The secret.
Yeah,
that's
the Abraham.
Well, actually, no. They didn't get credit for it.
So
what'd you
the
say
main
they
difference.
Miss Rhonda got credit for it.
I know, but the Abrahams ran with it before. She got it from them, and they kept going. And even when we were around, they kept insisting. They resisted us. They didn't back
I know
off.
A difference between a creator and a manifester. A manifester is somebody who hasn't figured out their God and don't realize that everything they've ever experienced in their life, they already manifested. And a creator is somebody who, of course, is in their place of power and know how the milk got in the coconut. So anybody who's talking about manifestation has basically flunked Ion 101, or God 101.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, Greg, I would like to have someone explore with Ion, what does it mean to be a God? No one has asked that. A lot of assumptions in that phrase, a lot of assuming cliches about what a God does that's not godlike. So let's analyze that, Katie or Greg.
I can use references from my life as to what it's like to be a god. You know, Thursday night, Ginny Bell and I are sitting here, and I'm kind of lamenting that my dad's dragging it on, and I'm going, where's Kevorkian when you need him? And, of course, my dad's wish was never to be a burden, and I knew he didn't want to be hanging around. And 12 hours later, the hospital wants permission to pull the plug, and we give it. That isn't God. I don't know what is, you know. We spoke the word. I spoke the word, and sure enough, it got delivered on a plate.
Is that being a God, Ion?
The one supreme being, the creator and ruler of the universe, the supreme being considered with reference to a particular attribute, like the God of Islam, one of several deities, especially a male deity, presiding over some portion of worldly affairs. That's your definition of it.
But you do have an external empire, if you're a god.
Okay, so then, if that's true, then give us some synonyms.
Bob.
Absolute being, all-knowing, all-powerful, Allah, almighty, creator, divine being, Father God, Holy Spirit, Infinite Spirit, Yah, Jehovah, King of kings, Lord, maker, Yahweh, daemon, who, deity, demigod, daemon, divinity, holiness, idol, master, numeran, omnipotent, power, prime mover, providence, soul, spirit, totem, tuguri, universal life force, world spirit.
Excellent inventory there. All of it external and not God. None of that is God.
Exactly right.
All right, bingo!
And also, in describing a God, it's almost like describing electricity. All we can do is describe the effects of electricity rather than trying to...
Affects. The effects. The effects are known. Affects are known. How electricity affects your body is different than the effect of being electrocuted.
Would that involve the kingdoms, the inner kingdom, the outer kingdom, middle kingdom, in that distinction?
Gods don't recognize the different kingdoms.
I think it's easier to describe what a god does than what a god is, much like what electricity does than what electricity is.
Effects are what electricity does. Affects would be what non-electricity does to you, or how it responds to the electricity, the complementary sensory juggling. So
right.
The affect is your response to the effect of electricity.
It'd be interesting to go back and find out exactly where you got the word God from.
Would it be the G-O-D or the meaning? Where do we get the meaning from, the imagery? Is that what you mean? Like any linguistic mutterance or the word God per se itself?
Yeah, both of those.
That's what a cosmic awareness is, Ra'i. Ra'i was the first separateness. That was God as the little man trying to be more than.
The history says it's to call, to invoke.
The power of the word.
Ger, G-H-E-U, four.
When one starts to use your words to evoke power or to get actions, you've become aware of the process that you have fallen. You have descended slightly. Because before that, you're using your words and not thinking about it. That would be the godlike. So the concept of God is an indication you've lost your godliness. That's why we don't go around saying here at Dobstown, I'm a god. Oh, that's a limited statement. Very, very inappropriate. I'm a goddess.
Do you know why you want
to
call me God?
One is noun and one is intransitive verb.
Yeah. I want my lawyer, my tailor, my servants, even my wife to believe in God because it means that I shall be cheated and robbed and cajoled less often.
Is this the mistake that Sheila made in her painting? She painted the Ra'i version of God?
If God didn't exist, it wouldn't be necessary to invent him.
Yeah, we wouldn't need Sheila's painting.
You'll always need Sheila's paintings.
Always. Hey, honey, we just love your new foundational garments. They are wonderful.
Thank you.
They're fine. It's good. Good. See, people just don't pay enough attention to good foundational garments anymore. They should. They're amazing.
Nice bit of structure.
It does. Are you ready to lay out your new sketch?
Yes.
Go to the sketch
book. All right.
the second sketchbook, not the first sketchbook, the second sketchbook, and do a collage, put it together. Make it be the wispy part where you're pulling them all together from three sides or eight sides or however how you do it. Make it be the front back
finally,
side here of your
finally
second, of your second, second, the second sketchbook. Get
okay.
The charcoals back out, girly.
The second sketchbook is the one with the Revelations rewrite notes.
Yes, we know. And don't get all crossways with it. You get all into this, and it's not all that. Be easy
do
with
it. Quickly.
It know.
Do it quickly.
And then don't spend the next 6 years gobbling over it.
Well, is there any particular image that I'm lacking in that sketch? An addition of an image or a symbol?
Let us leave theories there and return to here's here. First we fail, then we fall.
Okay, Corbin.
I've done me best when I was led, thinking always if I go, all goes, a hundred cares, the tide of troubles is there, one who understands me, one in the thousands of years of the night. All me life I have been lived among them, but now they are becoming loath to me, and I am loath their little warm tricks, and loathing their mean cozy turns, and all the greedy gushers out through their small souls, and all the lazy leaks down over their brash bodies, how small it is, and me letting on me self always, and lifting on all the time.
Ion, how should we proceed from this point on? What is the trajectory of what is happening? Is it all imploding, or is it all expanding? Is it doing all three things at one time?
Thus, the unfacts, did we possess them, are too imprecisely few to warrant our certitude.
They're trying to say that the Big Bang happened within one trillionth of a second. The universe was created within one trillionth of a second. Now, are you telling me that you from the other dimension, which would be 1 billionth times 3 pi times 3116234 to the negative 234 created everything in a reversed effect of the Big Bang theory?
There is no time, so no.
Well, of course, there is no time, but we've got to look
it
within the word.
Now you created it, now you can't sustain it. Ere the hour of the twattering, the bards and the Twitter litters between Drew Didia and the deep, sleep sea.
Now, the deep blue sea, but I'm saying we have to look for the meaning
deep,
within
deep,
the word.
Deep sleep sea.
Ion didn't create anything. We created Ion. Ion's non-physical.
I'm asking him from his perspective.
He doesn't have a perspective.
The grasshopper was always doing his job, popping up to the end of his joycivity.
That's right. Corbin's a grasshopper versus the ant. Very appropriate.
Now, I'm trying to say you have no perspective on anything. So how does one go about attaining that from the non-physical?
Loud, heap miseries upon us, yet entwine our arts with laughters now. Low.
That's page 259 of Finnegan's Wake, I think. Loud, or Lord, heap miseries on us while our laughters are low. Something like that, he just said.
Now, is laughter a good thing, or is laughter a repudiated thing?
Laughter is the essence of everything that's joyful.
So the whole universe is laughing with joy on the note that creates everything.
Broken eggs will persist if bitten apples, for where theirs is will, theirs his wall.
the wall in backwards speak is the law. I mean, the wall is the law. There is no time, but isn't there an emitting? Do you emit in a non-physical state? You emit one.
Over the bowls of memory, where every hallow holds a hallow.
How should I interpret that?
Any damn way you want to.
All right, 50 cents for a ride down the goddamn Mississippi, bitch. All right. So I'm going to meet you on the boat on the Mississippi, and what we're going to do, you're going to meet up with goddamn Bubo, because Bubo used to party with Xenu. Xenu and these goddamn Scientologists, they run Hollywood and Clearwater, Florida, and they all know that Bubo has come back. I have to travel my meat sack across many transverse continents, universes, parallel universes, the Hermitage Hotel, all these, to take care of
the
these
darkles.
Silly ass.
It darkles, tink, tink. It darkles, tink, tink.
Tinkity,
John tink, Marsh Park, God, Mark Bird is visited by the tides.
Now, what should we make of what is. How can
I where Misty Drummond, where Misty Drummond, where Misty Portando, oh, sleepy, so be yet.
Is Earth irrelevant?
Whom do you refer?
Earthlings, are they irrelevant?
We don't recognize Earthlings. That like
okay, are non-physicals irrelevant?
Always.
So non-physicals are always irrelevant?
Yes, Bob, they're also irregardless.
I'm getting a delay effect of some type. I don't know. I'm not catching all of it.
Imagine that.
50 cents for a ride down the goddamn Mississippi, bitch. Now, do you know what Bubo is saying?
A sound which represents the symbolic thunderclap associated with the fall of Adam and Eve.
That's God. Definition of God. The first definition.
Is God not to live in a dog? Is a dog to live in a God? Is God a dog?
Beasts are non-physical. They are not God.
Of course. But how would you put Kabbalah into your linguistics? Do you even recognize it as a form that's even worthy of conception?
Well, either that or a generator, but sometimes a carburetor is good. It's good, but you got to keep your air fuel mix good or it'll get too hot. It'll choke out. It'll miss. You got to keep that fuel-air ratio just right. But a good big old Holley Renegade 4x4, that'll get you right. It'll blow some fuel now. You're going to burn some juice, but it's always good. When you get your generator to ginning and your carburetor coughing, I can't even tell you what the pistons will do.
Now, the centrifuge, if we were to call it 4 equals 4, 2 times 2 equals 4, 4 times 4 is 16, 1 and 6 is 7, 8 is a different number, 2 and 2 is 22, that would be Bob's number, 23, the number of the old aeon, or the old ion, and now here's a new word that I would have to put on you. Iraq was essentially called Babylon.
It's not essentially, it is.
But it is now Babylon. You and Bob Babylon are conjoined.
Well, don't tell him that.
59 cents for a ride down the Mississippi. Massive. Master, give me the blaster. Faster and faster, Festus. What'd you think of Festus? Wasn't he entertaining?
He was indeed.
Have you ever heard the album by Festus?
Yes, we wrote it.
Now, if I should put Ion into Noi, into Hanoi. Were you in Hanoi? Are you just, or did you? Was that just amusement for you? You guys just sat back and said, "Look at these little creatures just blowing themselves to bits." I mean, is it sickening, or what is your perspective? There is no feeling because you're a non-physical. Essentially, right. Do you feel one way or another? Is there any emotion attached to you?
No, none.
So is it enjoyment? Basically, joy is the joy of all existence is what keeps your centrifuge moving.
That's just proof right there that us Hagans knows a heap more about some things than folks give us credit for.
Us Hagans? What the hell is a Hagan?
Francis Hagan?
Excuse me, I'm not understanding.
You quote Festus, so do we.
He just quoted Festus.
So you will not claim to be the master?
Never. When it comes to dying, I reckon everybody feels about the same way. Festus, what would that be? They'd rather do it tomorrow.
What's the easiest way to die? Is dying a beautiful thing? Should we look forward to dying and saying, you know?
No.
What do you mean, no? I'm never going to die. I've already told you.
Well, then why do you want to know about it? Why do you develop it? Why do you want to wait? Why do you want a casket? Why do you want a burial plot? Why do you want to have a debt that all men must pay? Why?
I don't want a burial plot. I've already traveled every black hole, every universe, every galaxy from here to kingdom come.
Bob, is he bragging or complaining?
A bit of both, I would say. A bit of both.
Do you have a question for Ion?
Hello, Ion. I'm going to be signing a contract. What do contracts mean? I've been going over a piece of legalese, and sometimes it gets to you because you're not sure what you should be giving up and what you should be holding on to. I don't want to give away
visit
my power.
Visit to Guinness Brewery Club, the advantages of the Penny Post. When is a pun not a pun? It is co-education of animus and anima wholly desirable. What happened at Clontarf? Since our brother Jonathan signed the pledge of the mediations of two young spinsters, why we all love our little Lord Mayor Hagler's circus entertaining on thrift, the Kettle Griffiths Moynihan scheme for the new electricity supply, traveling in the olden times, American Lake poetry, the strange dream that was ever half dreamt. Circumspection, our allies, the hills, our Parnellis, just toward Henry's Tudor. Tell a friend in the chatty letter, the fable of the grasshopper and the ant. Santa Claus, the shame of slumdom, the Roman pontiffs and the Orthodox churches. The 30-hour week, compare the fistic styles, Jimmy Wells and Jack Sharkey. How to understand the depth should ladies learn music or mathematics. Glory be to St. Patrick. What is to be found in the dust heap? The value of circumstantial evidence.
It seems to me part of this that's going on in my life is about completing something. Just a couple of weeks ago, Ion, you said that completing things was an important task.
Necessity for, if you do it now.
Okay. And that's sort of where I'm at. So I'm looking at doing it now. I've been working on this series for a long time. And it's now.
You're finally getting published.
And,
yeah, it looks like a good book.
You know,
you interview all the main theater people. I've looked at some outline of your book or something. Actually, you're developing, updating Walter Wager's book.
Who was my old friend, and that was very
cool.
And this, of course, is hopefully, you know, the photographs, which I'm interested in what McLuhan said about photographs, and there are other writings about how the photograph changes, you know, the way we perceive things. And one of the my way of photographing has always been about trying to capture a moment, not just to freeze a moment, but capture it literally. I mean, I think of it, that's why I call it shooting playwrights, because it's like capturing the moment. And yet it's so ephemeral, but just with black and white and space and time and a person, hopefully you get the personality, you know?
Yes, you bring up, I've just acquired from the Library of Congress the recordings that Tony Schwartz did in New York City in the mid-60s. Informal, Marshall will come over to his studio. Walter Wager might have known of Tony Schwartz. We could ask Winnie, maybe she knows the... So Tony would record Marshall in these incredible informal discussions in his home. I've been acquiring them. And he did a whole bunch of stuff I listened to yesterday on the photograph. And his main point was that the photograph changes with each new medium. The photograph changed when it was a certain way when radio came in. And then it was a certain way when black and white TV. Then it changed when color TV came in. Certainly the photograph influenced other media, but... He was interested in how the photograph had to change over decades in response to newer media.
Ion, when you were speaking awake there, I was hearing things that reminded me, I can't obviously bring up the words, about things moving through space and the like. And I don't know, there's something in there that just struck me, and I thought, oh, that's what's happening here. Bob, you were talking, the photograph along with, suddenly I realized I have all these recordings. I have recordings of all the playwrights that I interviewed. And so now we're into a place where we've got new media going on, and I could use that. So I don't want to give away rights that would allow me to make a both a visual and recording compendium.
Delays are dangerous. Bite a bite. Gobble and. Tease set. Season new. Mock soonly will be in a split second for the chancellery of his ex-ticker.
So your recordings are your property?
That's
because you
a
could
very
sell
good
them
question.
Or you could make a website
I
with
could,
recordings.
Well, I mean, I would need their permission, I'm sure. Obviously, I had their permission to do the interview, and I had their permission to do the photograph because I told them immediately that's what I was doing, so I guess.
Yeah, so you were allowed to type it, but what to do with the recording is another question.
Exactly. That may be a whole other kettle of fish. So I'm going to get this contract signed, sealed, and delivered this week.
Well, we did a recording with Ion that's listed in the catalog called Contracts. James Martinez and I interviewed Ion about the contract world, contract meaning that's available. I think it's like $25 or something. We've been talking to Susan, but anybody else is welcome to ask questions. You got Madeline here. You got
OJ. I have
one. Go ahead, Madeline.
It's about the 144,000 strands of DNA.
They're not strands of DNA, but made up of your DNA is 144,000 double helix that make up your DNA at a cellular level. But yes, go ahead.
When those are all present and active, are our spiritual gifts automatically activated at that time, or do they come sooner, or do we still, in our eternalness, go on some, like, a journey of activating them one at a time on our own? How does spiritual gifts tie in with the DNA? As in, like, telekinesis and clairvoyance and clear audience and all that stuff.
Is there a question?
Yeah, the question is, do you need to have the 144,000 activated in order for the spiritual gift to be activated? Are those related?
1 Corinthians 12.
Chapter 12,
now,
verse
about
1.
The gift of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore,
I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To the miraculous powers and the other prophecies. Another, distinguishing between the Spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, interpretation of tongues. And these are the works then in the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, your question regarding how spiritual gifts apply, this sort of lays it out. Now, with this information, do you have a better question or another question, or shall we slide right into telekinesis?
Well, that sounds like humans are granted different gifts by the Spirit thing.
Well, by God.
So the capital Spirit is God? That's you?
No, that's you.
That's me.
Yeah, it ain't us, honey. If we were God, y'all would be in a bad shape now. We'd show you what the old rugged cross feels like, honey.
This makes it sound like you can't expect, like I couldn't expect to have all the gifts I want.
You certainly may. You certainly may, that's what it's saying. If you don't have one, you can blame God, and God is you.
And the 144,000 has nothing to do or anything to do with attaining these gifts?
Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many.
The old me would interpret that as like a collective kind of thing.
You are. But you are a collective.
So now we have a collective.
You are a collective. It's not now. You always are. You are. And the reason you have to call it collective is because you didn't realize that you had parts. And the only reason you didn't know you had parts is because there's stuff that you got you didn't know you had, like the gifts of the Spirit. And now you have them, and you can use them if you want to.
I have them now.
So, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now that you are the body of Christ, remember, God, Christ, and each one of you is part of it, and God has placed in the church, first of all, the apostles and prophets and teachers, then miracles and teachings of healing, helping and guidance in different kinds of tongues. All are apostles, all are prophets, all are teachers, do all work miracles, do all have a gift of healing, do they all speak in tongues, do they all interpret. Now, eagerly desire the greater gift. So, get it. Get it all, or get happy, or get out. That's the easiest way to do it. That's the short version.
So there's no reason to wait for my DNA to change to claim and activate and use the gift.
And yet I will show you the most excellent way.
And that's under a heading, love is indispensable.
Imagine that. And see how we acquiesce in this position, because we only will allow King James, only. There's
yes,
no
I
exception.
I was just hurrying.
The point is we can go with you in whatever flow you go, meaning we can hang with that. And so to go into where you were, it's not a problem because it's kind of important what you were trying to do. Because we could do this exact same thing in King James and it would be very different, no contest.
Well, I can go there now.
but it'll be very different now. This got you what you wanted to get. Now, let's get on with this bullshit stuff that you're trying to figure out. Quit trying to figure it. You've created all these different things, and now you're deciding that there's parts of your body. I take it like a bath time with a little bitty baby. They find their feet. They find their toes. They don't know what they are. They're toes. They find little bits of their genitalia here and there, and they don't know what about that, but things happen there. It feels. It does things. And you're bumping into things of telekinesis. Oh, that's telekinesis. Oh, I guess it's telekinesis. It's like a telekinesis. Is it real? You play with these things, and you have to feel like you developed them, and you already have them. Otherwise, you wouldn't have this issue. So we would be having this conversation if you didn't know anything about it. Because you wouldn't know anything about it. How would you desire something you didn't know that it was? Describe it precisely the way to desire something that is unbeknownst to you.
So you're saying that if you know it, then you've got it. You just have to use it.
Well, you have access to it. You can develop it. You can run it any way you want to. You know, you kind of decide how you want it to play out. It's up to you. Get in a world of little men and be right all the time and see how that works for you, my dear.
Is it required that all 144,000 double helix strands be present in order to activate these spiritual gifts?
And the answer is ask and answered no, because as we laid out through.
Okay.
This
yeah.
little bit. You have all these parts of your body. Just because you don't know you have them doesn't mean you don't have them. And if you want to wait till you are completely ascended, then you won't be having this conversation because you'll already be using those things. So the question now is are you still beating your lover? If you know, yes, I am, and I'm going to stop now, or no, but so you're admitting you did used to be your lover kind of thing. You see, it's the you catching up to you. And we're okay with it because all you're trying to do is give a litmus to see how you're doing. So if we had said, yes, you must have all 144,000 and you start using your gifts, then you would be convinced because what we said, that you are ascending. Okay? Well, if that's what it takes to convince you you're ascending, okay, tear it up, sister. Get right. But it's not required because you already can do all that anyway.
Did you just say that Madeline already has the spiritual gift of telekinesis?
Of course. Silly Bob.
And is that something she could focus on right now and develop?
Well, she certainly could if she wanted to.
So is it just a matter of allowing it, of getting the labyrinth of the mind out of the way, or, you know, ignoring the I don't know.
Well, that's pretty interesting. If you look up the definition of telekinesis and try to get your mind out of the way, that's sort of an oxymoron, isn't it? If you sharpen your pencil and get rid of your pencil, does that make the writing go better? Yes, it would help the writing go much better.
So what does the 144,000 activated do for a person, or if they're not related to ESP, or it is? Describe a little bit more about what happens when you are activated.
You already are activated. You're already turned on. You just got to pick up the phone and start pushing the buttons.
The drops make you more believing that you have these abilities?
We hope not.
Well, what are the drops for?
If it takes drops to remind you that you're God, they may not be enough. The same way you don't have to give up the money. Because you fell and you left the clues all along. And you set a path about you must go through this garden of Gethsemane, as it were. And this Easter Palm Resurrection Day. This is Resurrection Day. You should be resurrected. Let me tell you all that secret. If Jesus didn't make the ascension, this is when the ascension takes place. If Jesus didn't make it to the ascension, y'all fucked.
But we know he did, and we're not fucked. So we take the drops, even though we have all these.
But they spend so little energy describing the ascension. This is the Emmaus Road. Where's that Ginny Bell? Get that Ginny Bell. Ginny Bell will tell you everything you want to know about the Emmaus Road, as opposed to the Damascus Road. The point is that it was this shaking yourself and coming into your ascended state. And it's not a big state, okay? It's not even as big as Rhode Island. Providence,
that is.
Mm.
Where
Sheila lives.
He, yeah. We love it. Some Sheila's mama lives. So, anyway, what happens is you start to come into your gifts. All right. Or let's say when you're coming along and your milk comes in. It comes in. Sometimes it's not fast. You don't know what you're doing. Back in Elizabeth Montgomery, Tabitha, Bewitched. See, Tabitha had the power. She was a witch, but she didn't know. So she'd mess them up and tangle it up. She didn't care. She just wanted what she wanted. She wanted cookies and milk. She got her cookies and milk. She didn't give a shit.
Okay, fine. We've done Tabitha many times. So people have everything they require. There's no problem. They got eternity. Why the drops have to come and activate because they're fallen. She's addressing
well,
him.
We've done the degrees of separation, and we've heard all about the degrees of separation, and we're not doing those.
Well, you're going to do what I say here. Okay, listen.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
No!
You won't.
That's delightful.
Now, listen to this, you bastard. Now, listen to this, look. We're going to get you to focus and not replay the old cliches from 2 years ago. Yeah, what you're saying is that everything's okay, but you've fallen. And so Madeline's asking about her gifts that aren't too apparent to her because she's fallen. So she takes the drops, and they get her out of the fallen estate. And so they are connected to activating the drops to the ESP, activating ESP.
Let's say it a different way. You're setting a precedent that you don't need to set. You're making it harder. We don't want to make it harder. We want to make it
easier. Well, you made it hard. You said that the drops are because you're fallen. You made a hard situation there. You said that 5 minutes
ago. You set the precedent. You were God. You separated yourself from your power. We didn't do that. You set in all of what you call your recorded history the way, the truth, and the light of how you're coming back into your place of power. You went all through great pains to riddle it all through history, through Doc, Daniel Tabbitt, every other monkey ganging, trip, banging, sip, singing, trip, singing thing you ever want to come up with and point you back to your way. Way back to God, okay? And so you made these shoe bread, then you got living water where you drank the water and you never thirst no more, and bread of living water that comes and changes the body, and then you got the blood, the lamb's blood, you just got through with the Passover, you found out what the Seder plate was, the shank bone, what the shank bone's connected to the ascension process, and then you kind of go on the word of the Lord. And then you get through all these details, 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 to round you right back into your ascending process. Now, beginning, you start with the RNA drops, okay? You start with the drops. And what that does for the body is it starts in you a reset, the reset to get back to God. This reset is critical because it sets your body into the shaking focus notion that there are something that's different. See, you make yourself not recall what God feels like, okay? You talk about God all the time. You sing it. You praise it. You worship it. You do all this kind of crap. But when you start coming into feeling and visceral in your body and tactile and the world shakes under your feet, all of a sudden, you get all dim and demure. So RNA drops, that just begins your reset process. You'll carry on, and as you enjoy them, you'll carry on, and you'll go into your living water and to your bread, shoe bread, as it were. And that'll even speed up the whole process. But you're also going to relax and allow, and remember the processes of ascension. They've not changed. Now, we've redefined them a little bit just because we started with such a dumbed-down version so you could get your teeth around it. And then now you're asking better questions, and so it is. But as far as your gifts go, if a drop of RNA drops will begin you into the process of your ascension process, it also will unlock your gifts. If you have gifts, which we say you all have all of them, all right? And they can be tapped and activated and turned on anytime, anyway, anyhow you want them on. You can also turn them off. you're so powerful, you got yourself into the mess you're in now.
Well, that seemed to answer you, Madeline. That covered more of the dynamics of it.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Yeah, Bob, I was the one that sent you the email about Zappa when he had the song More Trouble Every Day, you know, where you could put that song into a hip-hop beat, and that song will be live today. I mean, that would be a hit.
Yeah,
you can put that
right
into a hip hop beat. Yeah, I was very instrumental in doing something that happened in Los Angeles, where for some time you saw that there was a lot of gang violence and all these things happening with the introduction of the rap scene. So I looked at it and I said, "Fuck that shit, man! I'm gonna do something different." And I created something called what is known as the techno scene, the party scene, the rave, the undergrounds, all these things.
Yeah.
DJ Tiesto, woo! You know that, Bob.
Yeah, you did that? You started that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wow.
In the early 80s, yes. Yes, because you know what? I had a philosophy where I said, you know what? I had a brother that he died because of gang violence. He was 15 years old. He got shot in the head with a shotgun in his own bedroom while taking pictures. Fucking idiots. But anyways, when you see that, then I was like, you know what? This is stupid. I'm going to do something different. And that's
right.
What we did. And we did that. And I became a DJ. And we made a lot of other DJs. We made record stores. We made all kinds of cool things. And then just like nothing, I just let it go. Here, somebody else take it. You can have it.
How old were you when you dropped it? So how many years did you do it?
I started very young, 13 years old. I started in 1989, and I stopped in 2003.
Well, that's a stretch, but, you know, Flashjack and those guys in Brooklyn are happening in the late 70s. Did you pick up what the culture was, or you were the first in your neighborhood?
No, there was a couple of people that were doing the old 80s mix and a lot of the disco mix. I don't know if you heard, like, the disco stuff. And they came because of the before scene where you had the disco when it split to the rock. Yes, you had that split, you know? So you had, like, people, like, they had an identity crisis, like, oh, fuck, hey, man, where should I go?
Yeah.
Because once I'm on this side, I can't be with those guys. I'm going to have to fucking put them in the box and throw stones at them. And then that's what happened. So it derived from that area, from the disco scene. Hip-hop and rap, that came afterwards. And they decided to like look at the entire spectrum, and they just like took little pieces of everything. And to this day, I mean, you'll see that, right? You'll see pieces and beats from like older music, and they created themselves and they make it their own. But if you had a history to the music, you'd realize that was a song of someone else, and it could be something like that. But you know, they could put some of his stuff, and that's what I was saying. You put that song into a beat, and there you go, man. You have an incredible, incredible, incredible song.
Yes, Croker did some good writing in the early 90s about the trend of sampling as really symptomatic of a quadraphenic lifestyle. That's what it was, you know, sampling was the present. So you were the first in your world to do this.
Yes, yes. And once I realized that it wasn't just good enough just to be the DJ, I realized that I had to create party crews. And we have to actually make these things called party crew. And everyone was part of the party crew. It was like funny because you all dressed the same. We all dressed the same. We all claimed the same. And everything was funny. But we actually even have a philosophy. You know, we don't fight. We'll take it out on the dance floor and we'll dance in whatever funny way we think is appropriate. That's how it was taken care of. Well, I would actually like to ask Ion if there had anything to do with the changes, changing that kind of atmosphere in this area, because had we not done this, the gangs would have probably took over to a very, very, very detrimental cause, I guess. I mean, we didn't know what to do. It was incredible, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, I like to think that it did, but, you know.
So, Joe was asking about his youth, when he changed the culture in his world. Away from the gang violence. Do you have a comment on that, Ion?
Well, it wasn't as prolific as you described. It wasn't that way. But we're listening. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. There was no prolific. No way. There couldn't be. It was just the only hope we had. It was like, let's go there. No matter what it is, we'll do it, and hopefully things will change. And it did.
Well,
I mean, there was no expectations, like high expectations. It was kind of like, we do it. If anyone follows, they can join. And we'll have a damn good, happy time doing it.
And so that falls into the category of lather, rinse, repeat, does it not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And, Ian, you're saying the violence wasn't that prolific. You're talking about that part,
no.
Right?
Good Lord, suffering kid. No, you all, if you could have destroyed this world, you would have already.
No, not to the point of destroying the world, but to the point where families would lose, you know, family members because he's walking the jack and family got shot. Damn, fuck. it's just
your life was
like
useless,
you know. Well, that's why you made it turn around and dance.
You know, wah.
Joe, you made it all up, and you're going to have to even drop this myth about your youth. It was a fake youth. You didn't do fuck all. Nobody was dying, and you were hallucinating the whole time.
They wanted to go.
You stopped the killing. There should have been more killing, more people going that way, and you interrupted it. You distracted them with your dancing.
It's funny that you say that, because at this point today I say that, damn, let this shit go. Let it go today.
We need
more killing.
The place where you think life has a meaning, and then you decide that it doesn't have a meaning, so you make it have a meaning by forfeiting it. But you don't forfeit it. You're eternal. You can lay out a meat sack and say, oh, okay, here's a meat sack. Okay. No more than you have emotion when you defecate. You don't have emotion regarding that. That's a part of you, too. So
yeah.
It doesn't go away. It just rolls. That stinky goes downhill. Do you.
Well, it was fun regardless.
And that's right. And fun.
It was fun. It was great and everything, but... You know,
past tense as though it were not.
I'm getting caught in my own stuff. I'm a little nervous.
I
we're going to stop you right away.
Ion, you don't fuck with Ion. You never know how mean he's going to be. It's all.
Yeah, no, that's why I never called, because he said, you better call if you're ready to fuck.
Yeah.
That's how fucking goes, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I do enjoy Ion and everything, and I'm, you know, listening live now, so.
This is a recording, silly bub.
Yeah, I got called a few times back then. The one major one I called was about Jehovah, where we talked about Jehovah and what was Jehovah. Ion said Jehovah was you, me, the body. But then we spoke about the actual, it was about the church. Remember the Jehovah's Witness stuff? Yeah, and how I got out of that.
You were in
it? All of a sudden, one day, my mom comes home and says, we're Jehovah's Witnesses. And we're like, fuck. My dad gets mad. He's like, we're not having none of this shit. We're Catholics, and we're studying Catholics. He's being Catholics, and we're not going to do any more Catholic stuff. So how are we going to be Catholics if we're Jehovah's Witnesses? And then mom says that now that we're Jehovah's Witnesses, we're not going to celebrate Christmas. We're not going to have any more presents. We can't do any more partying. You must obey. You must go to church every Sunday. You have to wear this nice clothing because that's what Jehovah wants. That shit pissed me off.
How long did you have to suffer that?
About 4 years.
4 years. What a bummer.
Well, yeah, my mom slapped me once because I said, you became a Jehovah's Witness just so you don't have to give us any more kids. So that was one of those things, you know.
Was this in the 80s? In the religious, you know, fundamentalist stuff that was going on in the 80s under Reagan? Was it in the 80s she did
that? Yes.
Yeah.
And Michael Jackson, too, remember. He was
That's
a proponent
right.
of Jehovah's Witnesses.
But he held on to the archetype of the book. It was one last gasp to preserve the book. So all of American culture went, you know, fundamentalist, Christian, all by TV. So they're undermining it by being on TV, but they were trying to preserve the book archetype. And, of course, it did not survive the 90s. Once this digital stuff came in.
Ion, was this Jehovah's Witnessing only about books, printing books, and selling literature? Because that's what it seemed like.
Well, it really wasn't even that. It was trying to make a meme.
What about Charles Taz Russell, the creator of Jehovah's Witnesses? I mean, he was obviously one of these, what appears to be these pyramidal masons, whatever. He is buried under a pyramid, whatever that means. But he is what is known as the creator.
So is Bob, so don't worry about it.
No, that doesn't mean
website. We have a pyramid on our website. We're following the tradition.
No,
Russell.
Hey, my house is like a pyramid, so.
Yeah.
It's like, was that what it was about? I mean, because we still have Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on our doors. You know, when they knock on the doors, I ask them the very same thing, what is Jehovah? They can answer. And then they leave.
That's right. They don't know. That's what the watchtower is supposed to do. They built the tower just like Babel, and they were seeing what they could see, and they still are looking.
I once saw an incredible, weird-looking thing on the sky that looked like a plasma beam amoeba type of thing. It looked neon green and everything. I looked at it, dropped my record. I was about to go DJ somewhere. It was interesting. Dog next door went crazy. Jehovah's Witness next to me came out and said, what are you looking at? And I looked at, and they said, you're not seeing that, because according to them, they're not supposed to see, or this is, these things are not supposed to exist. But yet, it was there. Ion, is there any insight into that you could give me as to what that was?
Just
I'm putting it in. I'm putting
it's
an image
puffery.
Of it.
It's just puffery. The same reason we have issue with them is because they avoid the Old Testament.
Yeah, but what did he see, Ion?
Nothing.
This is going to end into your joke. Nothing in your reality is being confirmed or validated here. I don't know, Joe.
Well,
Jehovah's Witness was right. You were saying, look at that. They said, there's nothing there. And you said, no, I can see it. What the heck was he seeing, Ion?
He's right there. Ask him.
I don't know. There are a few more that I could say, but that's incredible. I mean, including the purple, whatever plasma ball that appeared in front of you, that's also an illusion.
It's not an illusion. It just doesn't fly. See, it's your lying eyes get you tangled up again. This surreal interjection of a ramification of a adulation or an undulation. Calm mm-hmm. down and embrace what you know, and you can then go to these other places, and you don't have to fly there. You can be there. You've done better stuff than this already. Your questions are valid, but you always pick the most obscure, out-of-the-way nothingness when huge, big, good things are actually really, really, really going on. Okay. Do you know your junk drawer?
I do.
Don't you find it odd how things come and go from your junk drawer?
Yeah.
Don't you find it odd that since there is no time that your watch would kind of go away?
Yeah, I've lost many watches. I don't really care for them. I don't even wear a watch. I have no watches, no time anywhere.
Okay. And in your drawer, you have everything stocked that you don't have a place for. It goes in the junk drawer. And yet,
yes.
You go to fetch it, and it's not there.
Yeah, it's not there.
And you go, who's been in my damn drawer?
Yeah, I thought it was my cousin Jimmy who took it.
No. No, it was you.
It was me.
Yeah. So now start leaving yourself notes in your drawer, and you'll be surprised the notes that you leave, because you'll find notes that you left that you didn't leave, and they'll be you, and you'll surprise yourself with insight.
Ion, did I take that watch and trade it for something else in another world?
You didn't trade it. You took it to another world and left it. They can call on the resting soul of Galileo, king of night vision, king of insight.
Okay, here's something stupid. Did I bring back a soda?
Of course.
Damn it. And it was still cold when I woke up with ice and everything.
That's right. And see, that's what I'm talking about. But you're talking about this bubble flucker, blue ball, rolling plasma wad, some bullshit, something, which is just a tracing afterthought of the really good stuff that's actually going on. You're going to have to segregate this out, otherwise it just gets into the, your puff pass doesn't work if you don't inhale.
True. I don't really inhale the whole thing, I just throw it out real fast.
And that's why you're getting this, what we call ridiculous residue that isn't even surreal enough to apply. Now, others, we moved heaven and earth trying to get them into this woo-woo land of fantasy. But you're so far in the woo-woo land of fantasy that you can't even get your fantasies out of your reality. So we're trying to bring you back a little bit. We're trying to push others out on the wire, and we're trying to get you back between the lines and spaces. So if you'll simmer down, you can enjoy the delicious things that you are doing, and you won't have to wonder what jizz ball in the sky coming down to tap you on your shoulder is about the boots.
When I'm in my dream state, I can take the dream over, and I can start flying.
You're not dreaming.
I'm terrified. I get it. I'm in the other world.
You're not dreaming. You're really there.
I know. I'm saying this for everyone else to understand. They know. I know.
Everybody else.
Fuck everyone. I said that earlier. Fuck you guys.
Fuck them. It's not about them. It's about you. You still haven't got it, so how the hell are you going to help them?
Ion, is there something to the internal organs to flying when you're there? How can it feel like I'm using something in my internal organs, my heart, to launch myself?
The same reason it's very difficult to drown a chicken.
It just seems like every time I'm there, it doesn't let me go forward.
Because you are holding you back, because you make
I'm holding you back.
Are these limitations that you said is a limitation? The only reason there's limitations is because you said there's a limitation.
Is that my mind getting into it, wondering where in the fuck it's going?
You question the questioning. You even get yourself rimmed up and you ask, no, I can't ask that, no. Let's see, if I was here and I could ask that question, what would I ask? Well, no, I can't ask that. Oh, here's a good question. I'm like, no, Ian doesn't know that. No, Ian knows everything. Okay. But if Ian asked that, well, no, this is ridiculous. I've only got one. What would I ask if I could just ask one question? Okay, well, I'll ask. So, what's the blue ball of jizz really about already anyway? Well, you separate yourself out so far out that you can't even get yourself back. And so, therefore, it becomes this whimsical, flittery, ridiculous, proffered, Budapesting crap that you can't get past the middle ground. And you're doing it, you just won't let yourself be it. You're doing it. You listen to Nike. Nike told you what to do. Just do it.
Just do it. No, the mind, when it questions what's going on, is that a problem? Does the mind go into its like natural question, like, what the fuck's going on? What are you doing? You're supposed to be doing this. You should be. Is that the shit?
Your mind doesn't do that, though. You set this regulation if that's what it's supposed to, but you don't do that. You have yet to question any damn thing you've ever done in your whole entire world. You just say that it didn't happen. Well, come in here asking a question. Well, why do we ask this question about asking questions? Well, is there a question about asking? You don't apply. It doesn't apply to you, so it's certainly not going to apply to us.
I get it. All I have to say is I get it. That's all I get.
Okay, good. Now let's get something fruitful. All right? Are you interested?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You have a body, correct?
I do.
And it functions to suit you, yes?
It does.
And you are sated in every way?
I am.
Okay. Do you know renew?
No. Realign and RNA.
Okay. With renew, we would suggest you apply one drop at the base of your scrotum, where the blood vessel or the urethra attaches through the penis all the way down, where it comes into the scrotum. Put one drop, just one tiny drop, there.
Yes.
Y'all surely going to enjoy that one. On your wrist.
Both wrists?
Both wrists.
The inside or the top?
Where the synovial glands attach, so it would be on the side. Where your little finger comes all the way to the wrist.
Did you recommend that she put the drops on her wrist for the purposes of using her hands better? Or?
No, she uses her hands fine.
Does that have anything to do with my elbows or my neck?
it would certainly begin to be a good beginning place, would it not? But wait, we were talking about orgasm. We were talking about orgasm. We weren't talking about facing hands.
Yeah, orgasm.
Yeah.
Very important.
It is.
Yeah, this is going to make Madeline's wrist action in her life about her sexuality way more visual.
We are so sorry. We are so sorry. It's 20 minutes before Dr. D goes to bed. What have you all done?
What about renewing erogenisms? Ooh, on the, like on the arm for women?
Yes, you can, but no, don't play the fool. You don't want to make this be about that, because if you make it be about that, it may not be enough. Don't make it be about that. We're talking about just every now and again, once in a while, enjoy those tiny parts. But you'll make it be about that, and then it'll be like Viagra. You can't get it up until you have Viagra. We're not trying to replace your virility with Renew. We're trying to bring you into your place of power so you can fuck like a god and stop playing.
Yeah.
And actually do some good.
I was wanting to know something. Do women really, do they think, yes, today I want some? Is that women? Because, you know, guys are, every day. Do women do that?
Yes, they do, but they want it different. It's very different. Females want engagement, but they don't want engagement just to climax, because, darling, they can do that without you. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
But they do want the closeness, and they do want the engagement, okay, for a different reason. You're just trying to get through, and they're just trying to get started. See, the closeness is an ongoing process. So what you have to do is you have to learn how to knock the little man out the boat. If you learn how to do that successfully, they'll all love you. And they do. But it's not about that. It's about the engagement. It's a different. Women want to be secure. The more secure they are, the more they will open up and get freaky with you. The less they are secure, the more reserved they're going to be and not open up with you. There's absolutely nothing they won't do if you get just right. And what we're trying to do is to show you just little bitty things that you can do to get right. And once you get right, then all of a sudden it changes everything.
Do you agree with that, Madeline, Susan?
Yeah.
And what's secure?
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Good question. I think it takes some trust.
Supposed
to trust anybody.
No contract. Mm-hmm. We don't want contract.
No contract. I like you pretty good. Let's see how this goes. It's an internal security. Look up security.
Judgment.
Well, hold on. Don't make a rule about a rule. Slow up. Well, okay, then you're speaking. Hold on. Slow up. You want to feel secure. What secure that you mean is that you are safe. You want to feel nested, okay? It's like a little baby when they're born and you wrap them up just so tight. The tighter you wrap them in the blanket, the better the baby likes it. And the biggest dog you can find, the smallest pen you can put them in, that's the way they like it. It becomes a cocooning position. So if you think of a cocooning position, then once you get in a relationship, the more secure or all the doors are locked, all the windows are locked, there's nobody going to be in on your business. And the more comfortable you are with your lover, the more less intrepid you become in your actions. Meaning you get more and more and more and more and more into it, the more secure you are.
Yes.
And if the men folks know what they're doing, they would happily take advantage of that. See, they're going at it a very different way. They want to be not bound at all, you see. They're trying to get something done. You aren't. So that's where it's a balance.
I would propose this question to the women. If Adonis were to drop his pants and wave it around, does that turn you on?
No, it does not. Hold on.
Will that be enough for some women?
No, it will not. It's not how deep you fish, darling. It's how you wiggle your worm.
That's what he was doing.
Wiggling worms, how deep you fish. No, it's not like that at all. It's not about that. Matter of fact, once you get so large, it actually becomes not as comfortable.
No, yes, it really doesn't matter.
But making that statement, you're trying to convince women that they see sexual activities the same way as you do.
Yes.
So we turn it around. So if they accidentally open their blouse and start exposing mammaries to you, is that going to make you hot? Well, hell yes, it's going to do it. Okay?
Thank you.
For them, it's different. It's not like
there
that.
You.
They can run around butt naked.
It's not
that's
visual.
What I wanted to
women
know.
Are tactile. They're into the
tactile.
Process.
Yes. They're not visual.
They're not goal-oriented. The male's goal.
They're not visual.
Yeah. We're not goal-oriented as the men are because we're confident we're going to get to that point regardless.
Yeah.
So might as well enjoy the journey.
And that's with you or without you. With you or without you. Because if you do it just right, if you climax before a female has climaxed at least three times, then she should kill you, cut your head off, and eat your brains.
This is the dilemma where... Well, not for me and not for anyone. The dilemma where most women and men are actually finding pleasure within themselves and not worried about having to have this whole secure and all this other stuff. Is there any sense of that?
Sure. We call that autosexuals. We don't suggest it. And in your industry, the porn industry has not helped anything because it sets all these unachievable positions and things. I mean... If you could lick your own balls, you would already. So just because someone out there can doesn't mean that that's the dream, the impossible dream. However, there's nothing wrong with self-pleasure. It's just that if it replaces coming together with other human beings, you have no way to gauge whether you enjoyed yourself or not. See, to enjoy yourself, you should probably do that with on a visual bias of another human being. You see? Because if you get this right and you work so hard to pleasure a female, if that's who you are engaging, it doesn't have to be female. There's all kinds of, remember we did, we remember it's not necrophilia if the body's still warm. We did that way, way, way earlier.
Oh, man.
We started off today.
I believe in trisexuality.
Okay, then wonderful. I mean, don't push against any of that. It's fine. It's fine.
This is a female show. We go for 18 hours. No goal orientation, not going anywhere. It's enjoying the moment and becoming. This is a female-oriented sex act, this show.
And it is quiver, blow, go, and go again. Quiver, blow, go, and blow again.
And we gain more and more security as the show goes on.
And then once Karen goes to bed, it's on.
Love you, Dr. Dean.
Thank you, Joe.